The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Todd Lebo, Jake Gutierrez, and you on this Monday, March 25th, 2024. The things I want to talk about: L'Jarius Sneed being traded to the Tennessee Titans, Kansas losing to Gonzaga in the second round, the NCAA tournament overall, the Kansas State women lost, and that eliminates the possibility of facing Iowa in the Sweet 16. And then tonight, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Kansas women take on USC and one of the absolute stars in the galaxy of women's basketball, Juju Watkins, freshman sensation for USC. Oh, boy, that's a 9 o'clock tip. So get the kids around the TV and let them stay up late. Thanks, NCAA.
I've noticed a few. The Kansas men and women played at the same time on Saturday, right? I think Baylor men and women were playing at the same time. I know it's just you're doing your own deal here, but it's like, come on, man. Help some fans out. I think Alabama men and women were playing at the same time. You know, you turn on the – I've got the YouTube TV now, and you can do the multi-screen. Oh, there's two Baylor games on. Oh, it's the men and the women. Same time. This must be difficult for fans to enjoy their teams.
So then you have to have simultaneous press conferences where Scott Drew's going, hey, how's everybody doing? And,
yeah.
And then, Kim Mulkey's not
at
Baylor.
She's at LSU now. That's a good try, though.
That was in my head for a minute. Damn it.
Yeah.
Whole time I was at KU, she was at Baylor, yelling at reporters and screaming about
things. And, you know, like, I think about things like this because, you know, we're a radio station, and it's complicated when the network that carries those, your Jayhawk network, has to come in, and it's got to be on two different things and under all the complications. Just come on, man. Help some fans out. Help them out.
What do you want to talk about?
This thing's late tonight for KU women.
Start with L'Jarius Sneed.
Listen, L'Jarius Sneed was going to be gone. We've been talking about this since, what, October? If you could pay one person, who would you pay? Chris Jones or L'Jarius Sneed? You know what I mean? There was
fake Aaron Donald?
You could have yes, fake Aaron Donald. You know, it's okay to not quite be Aaron Donald. It's okay to be 90% of Aaron Donald. That's Hall of Fame stuff, honestly. So, Sneed was going to be gone because, and I've said this consistently about this, L'Jarius Sneed needed to go to get paid. If he stayed here and made his $19 million next year, that would be great, but what if he got hurt? He is secure now. What's his guaranteed money going to be on this deal? $55 million?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say this again. Dude has made $3.9 million in 4 years of stellar football play. It was time for him to get paid. And the Chiefs cannot pay everybody. And the Chiefs go back with Brett Veach as the boss. Who have they paid? Have they paid a cornerback to stay here? No, they don't. You're here, and then you go somewhere else. What defensive back has this regime? I mean, you can take it back to John Dorsey in 2013. What defensive back has this group drafted that they have paid to stay around?
Well, there hasn't been one.
The answer is none.
And they've let some pretty damn good ones walk.
Steven Nelson.
This is the best one.
Steven Nelson is still in the league. He's a really good cornerback. He's around. I mean, he's not L'Jarius Sneed. Somebody tweet at me or something. God, I'm not going to read his name.
Please tweet at him.
Charvarius Ward was all pro this year.
And they didn't draft him, but they had him the whole time.
They traded for him.
Juan Thornhill.
They had him the whole time. Juan Thornhill. All these guys. They have them, and then they're like, we'll go get another one.
But even guys they brought in, like Tyrann Mathieu.
Exactly.
They didn't keep him.
Breezy. I mean, they had him a couple years. I mean, they Kendall Fuller was part of the trade with the Alex Smith deal. Brought him in. All right, here you go. Win a Super Bowl. Bye.
Yeah, he was the top free agent this year.
Yeah, and he's still in the league making money. This is what they do. Do not be shocked that this is the choice they made. Do you want more? Of course. But you can make any trade you want on Twitter. You know, if they could just package six first-rounders and they get this guy, yeah, whatever. I've heard of how many Royals trades have you heard people cook up on Twitter and send to you? Like, no, that's not happening because it's not reality. And you could want two first-round picks because you think L'Jarius Sneed is great, but L'Jarius Sneed is 27 years old. He's been a little bit hurt. He's a gamer. Dude is tough as nails. He goes out there and he plays and he competes. But you were talking about the Jalen Ramsey comparison. Do you know how old Jalen Ramsey is?
28.
He's 29. Legarius Sneed's 27. Jalen Ramsey's been in the league since 2016. He's been in the league for four more years than Legarius Sneed. I mean, this is...
My point was the trade comp was similar.
Right. No, that's my point. I mean, that's what they're worth. And by the way, in whatever metrics you want to use, Jalen Ramsey is a better player than Legarius Sneed. We may not think so, but Jalen Ramsey's been all pro, pro bowler, all that. You know the amazing thing, and it's a joke, Legarius Sneed has not even been a pro bowler. You know? He played great, and he's as good as anyone. He gets no recognition. In the end, maybe that will hurt you when you're doing your compensation on the pick. Well, this guy's not even a pro bowler. What do you think you want a first-round pick for? You know what I mean? This is just the business of football. You take yourself back to Tyreek Hill. When Tyreek Hill got traded, that was a much bigger deal than this because Tyreek Hill is better than Legarius Sneed at his position. Okay?
Why did Legarius Sneed dominate his ass in the playoffs?
Well, Legarius Sneed...
Both times he played him, why did Legarius Sneed dominate?
I'm talking about the level. Like, as far as the best wide receiver in the league, Tyreek Hill's here. The best cornerback in the league, Legarius Sneed, is not back. Okay? Otherwise, they'd have gotten more for him. My point is this. You wanted Tyreek Hill to be Chief forever. Chiefs Kingdom loved Tyreek Hill. They embraced him, warts and all. They loved him. Win, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? It's business. He wanted to be the highest paid guy. He deserved to get a big contract. They weren't going to give him a big contract like that because they know that that's not how they were going to build a team, so they traded him. And I'm not saying Legarius Sneed was demanding to be the highest paid cornerback, but
he
wanted to get paid a lot of money. And for my opinion, the way to get that money was not here because of where the Chiefs are with their quarterback contract, their tight ends, their Chris Jones, and, you know, all the things. It would have been foolish for them to give him that deal. So this is just what happens. You thank Legarius Sneed. Maybe you'll play him in the regular season or the playoffs, and you toast him. Just like what happens with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's lost to the Chiefs twice. Right? And hasn't had a great day in either one of them. He did have a touchdown this last time when someone fell down. But that you see my point. My point is you just can't have these guys forever. There's only one player on this team who you want forever, and that's the freaking quarterback. And if you end up getting Chris Jones for his entire career and Travis Kelce for his entire career, that's a bonus.
That's not much longer.
Exactly.
For those guys.
You have to be ready. You have to be ready for 5 years from now.
I feel like you can be both disappointed in the return and completely on board with the trade,
1,000%.
Which is where I'm at. When I push back on you saying, like, you know, he's not as good as Tyreek Hill, he's not as big of a star as Tyreek Hill, he's not as valued, but I watched him go shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he's great.
I watched him, and I don't think some of the other best corners in the league could do what he did to Tyreek Hill. My frustration is just I think he's undervalued, but it doesn't matter what I think, right? Like, I can go around saying, I deserve all this money. You guys ought to pay me. And Chad will say, well, can you get that money somewhere else?
No.
And if I can't, then I'm not really worth it, you know? And so I can sit here and say all I want. Well, I think the market should have been better for him.
Yeah, it's just not, though.
What it is. Yeah. And now I was of the impression when we were talking about all this, when Steven would ask me, okay, would you take this? Would you take that? I'm like, well, if they got the room under the salary cap and they're not going to get the value in return, they ought to just keep him. But you know who knows better than me? What they need and what they have cap room for and don't have cap room for? Brett Veach.
Yes.
He has a better idea of their cap situation and what they need and don't need than I do.
You sure?
Yeah. I'm quite sure of it, Jake. And all these people that want to be capologists that, you know, that look through it all and all that stuff can know more than me, but they don't know as much as Veach.
Yeah. Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith,
yeah.
Nick Bolton. I mean, they're like, people liked Willie Gay. Willie Gay was a good player for the Chiefs. He's gone.
And you didn't get that much either. But,
I mean, you know, but like, everyone loved Colin Saunders. Good dude. Gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't have them all forever.
And in general, the one thing I did say over and over again, and I will always say this as long as things are the way they are right now. Well, that's a really big qualifier.
Yeah.
But give Brett Veach more draft picks.
He's done well with
give him draft picks. He does well with them when he uses them to trade up to get guys. He does well with them when he drafts cornerbacks in the third, fourth, and fifth round. Give him more draft picks because it gives him flexibility. And then, as you guys have both covered, not only does this cap space give them flexibility to bring in players this year, It also gives them flexibility to do what Andrew Brandt told us when he was on with us last week. The best thing you can do, if you can, when you sign guys to contract extensions, front load the contract, if you can. That way, they're not expensive down the road. If they decide they want to extend Trey Smith or Creed Humphrey or whatever, they might have the flexibility to front load some of that so that in the next 2 or 3 years when Chris Jones gets expensive,
they can afford it. It
balances out. I mean, this gives them so much flexibility to make a lot of different choices. That's why they're doing it. And if Brett Veach thinks it's the right move, it's the right move.
I feel this, too. And I thought this was very important this offseason. Steve Spagnuolo staying here. Dave Merritt, the defensive backs coach, had a little flirtation, I guess, with San Francisco. They took him out there for an interview.
Dawson Merritt's son. Four-star linebacker.
Headed Oklahoma for sure. It's one of his teams.
He's talking to Kansas. He's talking to Oklahoma. He's talking to Missouri.
And Alabama and Michigan and blah, blah, everywhere.
Rock chalk.
But, so, you know, told us at that press conference, I don't know, it was November or something. Like, you know, he's not going anywhere to go even be a defense coordinator anywhere because of the time constraints until his kids are all done with school. That's what he said. So I thought he was not going to San Francisco. But I'll tell you this. He can coach defensive backs. The Chiefs' defensive backs have played so well the last few years since he's been here. So I feel like if they I think that, you know, the guys they have now, Josh Williams and Jalen Watson, those guys, I think they will continue to flourish under him. And I think Trent McDuffie's great. And I think they'll probably draft someone who you don't even know his name
right now.
And he'll get drafted in the fourth round and they'll be a good player.
Okay. Shamari Connor also.
They love him.
Was played some slot corner. They love him. He's an ascending player. And also, I'm going to go back to this again. All right. Charles Goldman from A to Z Sports tweeted this out over the weekend. A really good in-depth article about someone who could help replace Snead. And I've said this several times. If you listen to the camp reports when I was up at camp in the summer or anyone else, then this should resonate with you. Nazee Johnson is a former seventh-round pick who was having a fabulous offseason.
They love him.
And was having a wonderful camp. And the day, I was up there, rain, they went inside to practice, tears his ACL.
That was July. So that's the good news.
Yeah.
That was July. He didn't get hurt in December.
They were sick.
Mm-hmm.
Spags spoke at the podium the next day. He was sick. And he had talked about, he said it, that Johnson had elevated past Williams and past Watson and was working as the third corner. And they thought he was on his way to having a breakout year. And every coach talked about him. And you could tell they were just sick about it. Well, he's coming back.
Yeah.
And if that's true, then
the Chiefs are going to field
a
fine bunch of defensive backs. I promise you that's going to happen. They're not going to be getting smoked. They've got good talent. They know how to find this position. They're good at this.
Spags quote, and so Charles, if you want to read about all this, Charles Goodman also talked to Naz Johnson. I just retweeted it and put it all together. It's just a way to make you feel a little bit better, a guy that you forget. When this happened, Spags said, I'm really sad to see it happen to Naz. He was really climbing. If you guys notice, he was taking reps with the first group because he'd earned it. He's got a really good corner skill set. I mean, he played safety in college, but so hopefully, you know, we'll pray he gets healthy real quick and gets back.
Yep.
Didn't happen. There's video out here of him training and getting ready and looking like he's in good shape.
Well, the good news is,
so
like
add him to the list.
That was July. You get hurt. If you're going to get hurt in a season,
that might have been August.
Might as well. I think it was the last. I think it was the last day of July.
I think
that's when he got hurt. I think it was very end of July. But
he looks good,
you know,
on video.
You
right
see
now.
These guys who, you know, you go get hurt or something in February. It's a stretch to go play. I think he'll be a full go when it's time for the season. They'll be fine with this. I like L'Jarius Sneed a lot. I think he's a wonderful story from where he was. I told you the guys this before. He was on the Rivals, the 87th player. In Louisiana, in his class, not in America, in Louisiana, and he just got $55 million.
Hey,
that is a kid who deserves every little bit of that. And no matter what, he's been to 3 Super Bowls. He's won 2. I don't think he's going to go win one with the Titans, but that's fine. He was a good soldier while he was here with the Chiefs, and now he deserves to go get these riches somewhere.
I think we're all happy for him for getting paid. And let that be a lesson to all of you out there. Don't let what people think of you as a senior in high school define who you become in life.
Exactly.
Go make yourself whatever you want to be. But One thing I would add to, though, as much as I'm talking about how much I really do think he's just a tremendous player. I think he's been undervalued by the league. I think the fact that he hasn't been an all-pro this past year is a joke.
It's silly.
It's an absolute joke. But I will also add this. He was in a perfect system for the way he plays. Mm-hmm. He was allowed and encouraged by his coaching staff to be physical, to get up in guys' faces. He'd take some holding penalties. They were all right with it.
Cost to doing business.
And there is something to be said. I think that the way the Chiefs, you know, Stephen, you mentioned this earlier when people talk about, well, who, you know, name the superstar that they can get. This defense really isn't about superstars. There are some great players. McDuffie's a great player. Chris Jones, obviously, a great player. But this defense is great because they don't have any weaknesses.
McDuffie's on the cusp of becoming a superstar.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean there are no superstars, but that's not what this defense is about. This defense is about.
It's workmanlike, man.
They all fit the system.
That's why the 19.8 is important, because you keep yourself from having glaring holes.
Yeah. And I think that's huge in today's NFL, too, because offenses are sophisticated enough to find where your weak spot is and go after it. And this defense has not been that. Their secondary, as you mentioned, not bringing guys back. Their attitude is, we get guys that can play our system, we make sure they can all play the system, and it's more about the group than it is about one guy here or there. And so it will be interesting to see what kind of a player L'Jarius Sneed is in another system. Mm-hmm. Now, as you guys also mentioned, all those other corners that left have gone on to do pretty well. Yeah. You know, Tre'Davious Ward's done very well. I don't think he's going to fall on his face.
He's in the Super Bowl.
In Tennessee, but you know, will he still look like I feel like he was, I don't know, there was a better corner all year than him.
He was great.
They put him on the best receiver on the other team, and he went around and usually, you know.
He was great.
But
he has been a key part of them, with the success they've had, with winning Super Bowls. He has. But it's just, this
can't
is life,
keep everybody
man.
In this
you
league.
You can't keep everybody.
That is one of the, dude, it's one of the beauties of this league, honestly.
That's why the league is awesome.
It's why the league is so
insane that the Chiefs have had this success.
Yeah.
All right, I want to play this clip. This is from Friday night. This was maybe a couple of hours before the Sneed trade became public. Who do we have out there at the 101 Awards? Let me compliment them for.
Bethany and Belinda were both there.
Okay. So Sports Radio 810 was out at the 101 Awards. And just hours before the news came out about L'Jarius Sneed, Patrick Mahomes was there to accept the Derrick Thomas Award as Chiefs MVP. And Rashee Rice is sitting right next to him. And so here's Patrick Mahomes. He was asked about L'Jarius Sneed. And again, this is like 2 hours before the trade became public.
It's about 5:30 or so.
And you could hear Rashee Rice in the background talking as well. Here's Mahomes on Sneed right before he got traded.
No, I don't have any say in that. I mean, I think you'll hear it from everybody on our team that, we want Sneed. I mean, the player he is, but the person that he is, and he's one of those guys that's hungry. Every single day he's in the building, and he's not going to be the most vocal guy. He's not going to be always yelling and screaming, but the mindset that he has and that determination and how he practices, you see it every day, and he leads those guys. And so we want everybody to get their money, and so whatever happens, we'll be excited for him, but hopefully that's what the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, listen, he's loved, and he is someone who this locker room will miss, but you just got to keep going on, man. And I'll tell you this, I think we've talked about this too. He's a good dude who has done a lot of good things.
That's right.
With big brothers, big sisters, and everything, and he will continue to do that, whether that's in Nashville or whatever. And his background, tough background, all that stuff, and he has just made an amazing life for himself. I couldn't be happier for a guy to get that kind of money.
That was probably my favorite interview, even though it wasn't very long. But the night that it was freezing cold and the Chiefs beat the Dolphins in the wild card round of the playoffs, and when Sneed manhandled Tyreek Hill, going up and talking to him about that.
What I do.
Chad challenged JJ. Could never find that, ever. Couldn't do it.
He might.
He's going to be in there stumbling and bumbling around, pushing buttons. He can't find it. But just the energy, but also, I don't know if you've experienced this. You're in all locker rooms and clubhouses. But when I started talking to him about it, all his teammates stopped. Because he doesn't talk that often. He just doesn't.
He kind of sneaks out every once in a while.
And they were kind of gathering around and listen, and they were making comments, and they were smiling real big. Trent McDuffie loved it. because earlier I had two different defenders, without me asking them, say, that set the tone when he threw Tyreek Hill down to the ground. Because people, who didn't love that?
It was great.
Who, I mean, and then you see on the team and on the sideline, everyone loved that. It's like, you know, Tyreek Hill, one of the things that makes him so successful is intimidation. Because there are players intimidated by his speed. Why wouldn't you be?
Get particularly physical with Tyreek and drove him to the ground. He got pissed off afterwards. Just take me through that and how important it is to be physical with him at the line of scrimmage when you're going up against him.
You know, man, it's just in my game. Man, I like to get in people's head. And, you know, the guys know it. It was a hell of a jam I got on him, and he didn't like it.
Yeah, could you tell that affected him, and maybe you were starting to get frustrated?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's cold out there. You know, that's part of it, too. And some guys were ready for that.
Could you tell the cold weather was affecting them?
Yeah, I could tell. They had their hands in the pocket the whole entire game. Yeah. So I knew we had them.
How did it feel to you compared to what you expected?
Oh, man, you know, it was cold out there. But, you know, mental.
A lot of people feel like you should have been a Pro Bowler. How important is it to go out there in the playoffs and show people that you are a Pro Bowler?
Man, you know, God knows. God says hi and looks low. You know, I'm a pro in his eyes. You know, I just got to keep working and doing what I do.
Thank you.
Yep. He's doing the interview.
Yeah, listen, they're going to miss him. But it's just, this is life, man. This is life.
It is life.
Hey, that play he made forcing that fumble against the Ravens, one of the greatest plays in Chiefs history.
Yeah.
Where'd you see that?
It was outstanding. Outstanding. He made some really, really good plays. I remember the very, very first game he played was the ring ceremony day in the Andy Reid foggy.
The COVID.
Yeah.
The COVID year.
First ever COVID year in front of 15,000 people or whatever. He picked a ball off in that game. And you're like, wow, this is that kid that you're talking about. You know? He's just
Clyde
always...
Edwards-Helaire had a huge game, too. And we're like, oh, boy.
Here we go. Here we go.
I was at that game. That's a wild one to remember.
Yes.
But you know what? Great, always should be considered a great Chief, forever and ever.
Yeah.
You know, and good luck to him in Tennessee.
Now, what you do is you move on. You use that pick. You try to do something with it. Trade up
and
trade
use
down,
that cap space.
Pick another one. Use the cap space to do something. This is the league. This is the league.
Start with bringing back Mike Dana.
Yeah, it's, you know, he hasn't signed anywhere. This could all be.
That's
part
why
of the
I wanted to bring back. It'd be weird if he signs a place and I said bring him back
because he's had a pretty good run.
You know.
I'm surprised he hasn't had interest somewhere.
Yeah.
So maybe they've kind of told him, let's just wait here. Don't go signing somewhere right away. We got you in our plan.
Is that
you
right?
Know what I mean?
Is that right,
Todd? Could be. It could be.
Yeah. I'm just making sure we're on the same page here.
It could be.
No, notice that and say, hey, let's bring in Calvin Ridley. He's already signed.
Or Willie Gay.
Right, Willie Gay.
He's gone. Yes. But is it a little curious to you that as well as Mike Dana's played, that he hasn't gotten an offer somewhere?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it's all.
But it was
plan.
Curious to me that Willie Gay only got 1 year, $5 million. It's curious to me to a lot. But just you know, Mike Dana's again. You got to look past just what he does on the field. He had 6.5 sacks, but he's an important cog in that rotation and great locker room guy, and someone that they trust and they can count on. And they need another edge guy.
The Chiefs will field a team next year. They'll be fine.
There it is. Todd Lebo says they will field a team next year.
Fill the roster.
Okay, so they don't want to talk about it. Will you talk about Kansas City and Gonzaga?
Let's give it a shot.
Well, he can't wait.
Well, you going to watch your Sooners, the ladies, today?
Yeah, they're
in action.
Lose. They're going to lose. They almost lost one. They almost lost their first one.
Oh, my gosh.
They're losing.
Nah, you get over the test in the first round.
Okay,
then,
let's go.
Then you pick up the momentum. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.
Can't wait. Two receivers to the right side. Jackson shotgun on second down. Throws. Caught by Flowers over the top. Dives. Breaks the plane for the touchdown. The question is when he lost the ball. Oh, boy. Nick Bolton on a recovery. Did they slap it out of there before he crossed
Ruling
it?
Ruling on the field as the runner fumbled short of the goal line. Recovered in the end zone by Kansas City for a touchback.
What a turn of events. Zay Flowers diving, and it was knocked out just before he got there. This is a potential game changer. Lajarius Sneed forces the fumble.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. John Fanta had a good tweet. For just the fifth time since 1989, and the first time since 2019, the top two seed lines are in the Sweet 16 in their entirety. So all the ones and twos are safe. But even though there's no, I mean, look, NC State's a double-digit seed, but that's not a, that's, it's not
it's a
Cinderella.
Bit of a Cinderella.
Not really. I mean, no small schools. They're all, yeah. It's all big.
Yeah, they are. It's a Power 5
big
school.
Name, big power schools.
I mean, Gonzaga's not a Power 5 school.
They're better than almost every Power 5 school.
Yeah, it's still not a Power 5 school.
They've 9 straight Sweet 16s.
Yeah.
When will you give them credit?
I'm giving them credit, but they're not a Power 5 school.
How many,
they happen to beat one of the big Blue Bloods by 21 points.
How many?
They're a little underdog to me.
How many programs in this in the nation are better than Gonzaga? How many basketball programs? Very few.
Less than 10.
We just kind of gloss over that. You don't think that's amazing that they've made 9 straight Sweet 16s?
9 times.
I do. They're amazing. I was just a little tongue-in-cheek there.
I know, but
Kansas lost to a non-Power 5.
Final Fours that they made?
Anybody.
They've made two championship games.
I knew he'd find a way to tear that down.
I think they've only made 2 Final Fours, and they've made 2 title games. They've lost them both. So they never
finished. That's still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
That's still pretty damn good.
It's amazing. They're an amazing program. They really are.
9 times.
I was actually sitting at the airport next to a couple of Gonzaga alums yesterday. Mm-hmm. And
must not be that big a deal to them if they're out of town.
They're on a work trip, but they're fired up about it. But it was a good conversation.
This will be a team that goes and does something.
But it was
when they've been a one seed. They've kind of that's when they're like, ugh. You know, they started out, you know, 15 years ago as just whatever.
When I was a
real
kid,
underdog.
When I was in high, grade school and high school, they were a team. We talk about like the importance of the NIT in today's world. They were a team that always made a run in the NIT. They were always a factor in the NIT. So you knew, and that was the NIT was a bigger deal back then.
People didn't just not go.
And then all of a sudden, and then they were for a while there a team that was like, boy, they got a great record, but if they don't win their conference tournament,
they're not going to make.
Are they going to make it? And then they and nobody remember back when those days nobody wanted to play them
never
in the non-con because it's like, well, if you lose to – you might lose to them, and if you lose to them, it doesn't – it hurts you. Now, they're so good that major conference teams aren't afraid to play them. It's a good loss if you lose to Gonzaga in the non-con. They have worked their way up and up and up and up. It's been amazing.
They're an elite basketball program. Yep.
And the other thing that now it's confirmed, it was ridiculous, but the Big East only got 3 teams in. All 3 are in the Sweet 16. And you want to talk about dominance.
Does it make you feel like these little net rankings and stuff are silly?
Maybe. Again, John Fanta, who's a great follow on Twitter, John_Fanta. I beg of you, Jake, to book him. John Fanta. We tried to book him last year when he had an interview with Bill Murray on the court, and Marco didn't have success. Have you ever tried to book him? It wasn't you, was it, that's tried to book him before? Have you ever seen him? Have you ever watched him? He's great. He mostly covers Big East basketball, but he's also on college basketball on Fox. But he hosts and he does Field of 68. But he's like a reporter that got in a time machine from 1977.
Right.
And then he's just here, you know. Or he almost looks like a character that Chris Farley would have played on Saturday Night Live. But he's fantastic.
Yeah.
So he tweeted out, listen to this. This is crazy. UConn has now won its last 8 NCAA tournament games by an average of 22 points. So over the last 2 tournaments, they're averaging their win margin is 22 points. So that includes the national championship and the 2 dominant wins in these first 2 rounds. Maybe this is all just
last night. It ended up being way closer than it started. I mean, really? I thought they're going to. I mean, they could have won by 40 if they wanted to, and not even winning by 20.
So we played the comments earlier from Bill Self. Jake can play those again if he wants, or we can do what other people have done and take him out of context. Whatever you want to do.
Which way would you like it?
Play the full one if you would. And then you tip, but don't just bow your head to Nate and Jake. If you think there's something to it, say it.
Okay.
All right. Play it.
The competitor that you are, I'm sure this will stick with you. But I mean, is it something you already feel like I got to start thinking about next season, or you got to absorb this for a little while?
Well, I think for the last month, I've been thinking about next season. To be honest, not.
in the moments during the game. But, obviously we played – we had eight guys on scholarship, and we play. I mean, that were healthy there late, and you know, injuries are part of the game. So that's not an excuse. But we could have done a much better job as a staff, putting more guys out there that we could play. And so that's something that I've thought about for a long time. And the thing about it is in basketball, you know, early on, you can play through some things, but the course of a season, there's a grind that goes with it, and bodies get run down, injuries occur. That's all part of it. And when you don't have as much firepower or as, you know, that maybe you've had in past years, it certainly showed this year.
Here's the deal. He got asked a question, and he was honest about it. By the way, every single coach is thinking about next year when they're not coaching a game, because that's what the game is. And it's even worse now than it's ever been. You always have to think about next year when you're recruiting, but now you have to think about it in a different way because you're recruiting your own players, you're recruiting the portal, you're recruiting high school players, you're doing all those things. You're managing all kinds of different things. So there's nothing to that. If there's someone out there saying this guy's checked out, wrong, okay? He's mad at himself that they didn't field a better team, that they didn't have a better team. Part of that's their own fault. They did have a scholarship limitation because they did get in trouble for cheating, whatever you want to call it, breaking the NCAA rules. It took 6 years or whatever it was to get punished for it. But eventually the chickens came home to roost this year, and they didn't have as many players. They had injuries, and some of the players who they got in the portal just didn't look like Kansas basketball players to me. You know what I mean? So this happens. But I'll say this, and you said this earlier, Nate, and that everyone who hates Kansas should listen to this. This is the worst year Kansas has had since when?
Probably the 1989 team that Roy inherited.
They were the sixth seed in this league. They were a four seed in the tournament, and they got boat raced by a team in the second round. Okay? My team, Oklahoma, is a good basketball program. And this is, they haven't won a title, but they've been to like four Final Fours, five Final Fours. They've won a lot of games. They've done a lot of stuff. They haven't made the tournament in 3 years. Haven't made the tournament in 3 years. And then they chose not to even go try in the NIT. So if your worst year is a six seed in Kansas City, a four seed, and you actually win a game, they're not building statues everywhere for that. But this is not the end of the world, okay? Kansas will be fine. It's not over for Bill Self.
Didn't North Carolina miss a tournament last year?
They've definitely missed tournaments.
Like last year.
So, and they were in the title game. Or, title game against Kansas 2 years ago. So this happens. It's amazing to me that this is the low water mark for Kansas basketball. And it includes a win in the tournament.
I mean,
everyone who hates Kansas, listen, put me in the group as someone who's jealous of Kansas, okay? But you better get your shots in now, because Bill Self, they will be better next year. And this, I'll tell you what, though, the league is, you're not winning 17 leagues in a row anymore. That's over.
In your face.
The league is going to be the toughest it's ever been in Bill Self's time.
It would be nice if the league would follow up and go do something in the tournament. Well, as a whole, they still got Houston and Iowa State left. Maybe one of them will win the thing.
And they've had success in the tournament here of late.
But can I add something that I like a lot?
This is not a banner year for the league in the tournament.
For the league that I think will make the league even better, and I'm not saying that it's going to happen right away, but I'm a fan of Darren DeVries, the head coach of Drake, and he's now the head coach of West Virginia. And he's going to bring his son with him. It's already been reported. And so they will have an excellent young head coach, and he's bringing a kid that will be one of the best players in the Big 12 next year. Just throwing that out there, that West Virginia was an also-ran, and they just...
They were in a weird transitional year.
I think a lot of him as a head coach... And I don't know how much you watch his son, but I think he dropped 27 in the Valley Championship game. But all of a sudden, and he'll probably bring some other kids from Drake, all of a sudden West Virginia ain't going to be such a pushover next year.
Arizona is still in the tournament. They're going to be in the league next year. Colorado won a game in a play-in game. They're going to be in the league next year. You know, it's this league's going to be tough. I mean, you're losing Oklahoma and Texas, but they're adding four teams. It's going to be something next year for sure. It's going to be hard for anyone to go win even two in a row, probably, much less over a dozen.
Also, after yesterday's games were factored in, Thursday's Sweet 16 matchup between Iowa State and Illinois now features KenPom's number one defense in the country against KenPom's number one offense in the country.
What will give?
Yeah, what will give?
The irresistible force or the immovable object?
And this is as we get closer. Man, oh man. Iowa State just did not deserve to be in the same bracket as UConn. Because they're Final Four quality, and it could very well end up that they get to the Elite Eight and you just can't do nothing with UConn.
Yeah, Dan Hurley's bitching about that, too. He's mad.
He'd bitch about everything.
He's mad about everything.
You know, he wears the same suit and same underwear for every game.
By the way, they said his wife carries their little personal washing machine around. Don't they have trainers who could just clean his clothes?
They take a portable washing machine with them.
To wash his underwear.
Yeah. What's wrong with it? It's working for him.
It's working. It must be that.
What's a portable washing machine?
I don't know. I want to see a little
scrub board or something. I'm interested in that.
I don't think it's got like water hooks.
The wipes. The dirty undies, dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say? I've got a lot of topics here.
You know, Jake said we're supposed to break and come back.
We have another segment.
It's loose. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. I mean, these are all really good matchups. But like I said, there's just no small schools, especially compared to last year, that are like true Cinderellas that you can wrap your arms around. But that's fine because the high quality of matchups will be there. And there are some heavyweights. All these matchups look like, on paper, I mean, they could be Final Four matchups. Clemson has looked terrific, and we're efforting our old friend Billy Donlin. Why, Nate?
He's on the staff at Clemson.
Associate head coach.
Boom.
It's more than just being on the staff. Will you give the man credit?
Credit
please?
Him.
Well, I feel like that's accurate. He's on
right.
the staff.
You're on the staff.
Well,
Clemson and Arizona.
For now.
Someone shout a pick that what you like here. Clemson, Arizona. Arizona looks good.
Arizona.
You, Caleb, love them, don't you?
It's Big 12.
San Diego State, UConn.
I mean, I'm not picking against UConn.
When was the last time they played in the tournament?
Was that the final last year? San Diego State made the final, right?
When's the last time they played in the tournament? I'm not answering the question for you.
The final last year.
When I ask it, I want an answer.
The final last year.
Okay. Is that what you believe?
Yeah.
Okay.
is that right?
Is it?
You tell me.
Jake has to be the fact checker.
Correct.
No one's picking against UConn, right?
No.
Okay. But I'm just at the quality of matchup there. Alabama and North Carolina.
Bama's my sleeper team, so I'm going to get Bama athletically to run through there and it'd be a high
Todd likes to coach at Alabama.
Athlete, good guy.
Hey, listen, here's
tremendous.
I was telling my wife yesterday, we were watching Alabama, and I said, I'm not sure there's been a murder involved with Alabama basketball this year. It's a good year.
At any point, did you say, go, Alabama?
Yeah.
Did you?
They had their hands full yesterday.
I wish they would have lost to Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Bryce Drew.
Yeah, didn't do a whole lot of cooking. Illinois and Iowa State. KenPom's number one defense against number one offense.
I got Iowa State in the regional final, so I'm picking
them. So do I.
I got Illinois in my Final Four.
I hate your Final Four.
Run them.
Go Cyclones.
That's right. Wow. NC State and Marquette.
You know, NC State's super hot, but I think they just were on a little momentum there.
I like that
Marquette's
big kid,
going to win
though,
this game.
Man. He's so good.
Yeah, the big fat guy.
Wow. Gonzaga and Purdue. Purdue looks great.
Purdue's my champ, so I got to go Purdue.
Look great.
Man, Purdue looks like a juggernaut right
Duke
now.
Duke and Houston.
Go Houston. Come on.
I think Duke's going to win that game.
Creighton and Tennessee.
Let's go, Creighton.
How about these matchups?
Is Derek Dieter going to back the bet off?
No.
Heavy lumber.